One night, I remember laying in bed and I was just so sad, honestly. And I felt like, God, I feel like I've done everything in my power to sort of make change in our lives and to pursue you and to do what I think you've called me to, you know, writing and sharing and whatever it was. But I was like, I feel like I've done everything I can. I don't know what to do. And in that moment, I decided, in the midst of all those tears and just sort of this like heartbreak, I was like, God, I have nothing else but you. And I give everything over to you. I give my life. I give my kids' lives. I give my husband's lives. I give my home. I give where I live. I give my job, like everything and everything that I have been associated with, that I touch, that I interact with, that I'm involved in is yours.
Welcome. You're listening to the Love That Surpasses podcast, and I'm your host, Sarah Lowry.
And I'm your co-host, Megan Bushalon.
Take a seat and join in as we share our hearts and experiences surrounding parenthood, disabilities, and God's calling on our lives to live victoriously, fearlessly, and free.
You'll hear conversations about expectations, grief, jealousy, but also surrendering our lives and stepping into our God-given purpose with courage.
We're so glad you're here today, and we hope you feel abundantly loved. Because, well, you are.
Welcome back to the Love That Surpasses podcast. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time, we're ecstatic. We encourage you to go listen to the other episodes. If you are returning, thank you so much for continuing to listen. We do ask that you leave us a review. That really helps boost the algorithm and share a podcast with others whose lives could be really impacted by these things that God has put on our heart as well. And just sharing this podcast with somebody that comes to mind who might really need these words. So we appreciate just your faithfulness in that process.
Yeah. So you're actually listening to episode 9. So if you are, I know sometimes when you come into some podcasts, it starts you at the latest. So if you haven't listened to the first 8 episodes, we really encourage you to go back because they really do feed into each other. So definitely go back and listen to that. But we're so glad you're here. And so we're going to be talking about, it's a whole lot of just surrendering and purpose and just so many different, what all that kind of, how it leads to one another and what all that means and our personal stories behind all of that. So, you just want to dive right on. Do you want to start or?
How about you start? You start this one.
Okay. Okay. So, oh man. So I think one of the biggest moments in my life where, there are definitely small moments in my life where I've had to constantly be like, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm surrendering this to you. This isn't mine to carry. But there is definitely a big moment in my life where this happened. And when I say God moved in big ways, like there was no denying him and his hand and all of it. And so like, I really love sharing this story and I'm just now on the other side of all of that, that happened. So I'm coming from a place now where I'm really able to speak to so many that really, I feel like I can share my testimony. Cause it's like, okay, I feel like I'm at this, like I've closed that chapter almost. So, but God's still doing amazing things in me walking into this new chapter. So, okay. So, I've talked about this maybe a little bit, but, just, I think in more depth, so where we lived before was in Georgia and, it was essentially my hometown. I'd lived there my whole life, you know, pretty much for like 30 years. My husband, not being from there, came from Florida, moved there, found a job and was there for 13 years. We met. We got married, we started a family and there you are. So we had our life there. We were settled there. We had roots there. We had careers there. And I remember slowly but surely just getting to a point of just complete, I was so depleted. And I had felt for so long that I wasn't stepping into my calling. I wasn't fulfilling the things I felt like God had laid on my heart. And I just felt like I wasn't where I was meant to be. I was immensely overwhelmed and stressed and frustrated and angry. And, you know, there were so many different aspects of my life that I was just like, this is not what God intended for us. This is not where I thought, I don't think this is where he wants us. And so there was sort of this uncomfortability there, where it was sort of pushing me to move. And I know that my husband wanted more and we wanted more for our kids. One night I remember laying in bed and I was just so sad, honestly. And I felt like, God, I feel like I've done everything in my power to sort of make change in our lives and to pursue you and to do what I think you've called me to, you know, writing and sharing and whatever it was. But I was like, I feel like I've done everything I can. I don't know what to do. And in that moment, I decided, in the midst of all those tears and just sort of this like heartbreak, I was like, God, I have nothing else but you. And I give everything over to you. I give my life. I give my kids' lives. I give my husband's lives. I give my home. I give where I live. I give my job, like everything and everything that I have been associated with, that I touch, that I interact with, that I'm involved in is yours. Everything. And I was like, I want you to change it all, change everything, uproot us, move us, take us wherever you want us to go, set me on a new path, you know, and make it be known that this is what you want for us and for our family. And I will follow. I will do whatever it is that you're asking me to do. I will trust you. And I'm just asking you just to change everything. And I remember in that moment feeling like I heard God said, okay, it's time now. Like, finally.
He's like, all right, I've been waiting on you.
Right. It's like this moment of like, you've been trying to do this on your own and you're, you know, of course it's not working in the ways that you think it should or happening as quickly as maybe you think it should, because I need your steps to be guided by me, you know, by God. And he needs to be at the center of everything and really just to be the leading my path, illuminating my path where I needed to go. So I felt like there was this like almost this hug. Like I felt like a child and I feel like God was hugging me and he was just like, it's okay. I hear you. It's okay. Breathe. And I want you to create as I have created. You were created to create. So I just want you to create. That's all I want you to do right now. That's all I want you to focus on, create. And I was like, okay. And I felt so much peace. And I felt so much love. But at the same time, I'm like, what am I supposed to be creating, you know? And, you know, I've always been in the creative field, marketing and PR specialist, expert, whatever you want to call that. And, but I've always enjoyed designing and graphics and things like that, but I was doing very little of that in my job. And I missed it. I missed doing things like that where I was really able to put my heart into it. And, so as sort of a creative outlet outside of work, I started creating. I started spending time in worship and I created out of worship, and those things moved and they just were the stepping stone to all the other different, I get so excited and I get so emotional talking about this. Cause like the day that I decided to create a butterfly, something as simple as drawing a butterfly with a beautiful verse and its wings, like, and talking about what that meant to me has led me to where I am right now. And
I'm like getting emotional because I like,
right,
can see how like our relationship came into fruition and like how the ministry came into fruition because of just these initial stepping stones that you
surrender
took way back before I even came to that place. Like,
yeah,
it's just
having
amazing.
No clue, having no clue what this was all going to be. I didn't know I was going to be doing this. I didn't have no clue I'd be doing a podcast with Sarah Lowry all the way in California. Like, I had no idea that I'd be sitting here texting Sarah at midnight, like, okay, when we reach these sponsors, this is what we need to be doing. Like, who knew I'd be doing all this kind of stuff? But you know what? It's been so crazy. And this moment of surrender and this moment of obedience, it was like that.
You did know in a sense before, like, I feel like,
sure,
see where God put these things on your heart. Like, I'm supposed to be doing this, but it was way before he ever made it into fruition. Like, you had your own podcast, but
yeah,
it didn't end up working out.
Oh,
you like started all these things and you had all this knowledge because God like put it on your heart. Like, I'm supposed to be doing all these things. Like, I'm supposed to be doing graphic design, but then, you know, that was kind of on your terms. And, but it was,
yeah,
also like such a grace that you had been given too, because when I came to you and I was like, okay, this is what the ministry needs, this is where we need to go, you're like, I got this. 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 I got you. And so where I didn't have any of that experience, he had already put all that experience in your lap.
Oh, and it's definitely been a full circle moment for me, especially this past year, because I remember sitting back and being like, now you know what you're doing. You really do. I mean, why do I ever doubt? Why do I ever stress about anything in life? Because like, you have literally worked everything out. Even the jobs that were so stressful, so toxic and so horrible, I gained so much experience and knowledge in those jobs that I now use for this. And I'm so much happier, so much more joyful. And I feel so fully fulfilled in what I'm doing. But had I not had those experiences, I wouldn't be able to help Sarah in the way that she's needed me to and needed me to step up. And so that's been really cool. But I will say, just from everything, from creating those different things and starting designs and putting stuff out there and making stickers and then meeting Sarah and making the logo, to you becoming, working on various things together and then growing into the relationship we are now. Then so many things. He helped me form a relationship with Sarah, a real meaningful relationship, one that's not so much deeper than anything I've ever had before, which I prayed for. But then to have God moved us, completely uprooted us to a whole new state, got us in front of doctors and teams that are much more equipped to help my son that he would never have had back home in Georgia. We live in a place now where I feel really peaceful and I feel really joyful. And it's a life that I feel like I don't necessarily need a vacation from. I feel like I'm like, God's brought me exactly where I'm meant to be. And I would have never have done any of this if it wasn't for that surrender of just trusting God. And not only has he done this for me, he's done it in my kids' lives. He's done it in my husband's lives. My husband's doing a whole new, completely career now. And he's so happy. He loves what he does now. And he's just so joyful in that. And he feels like he's done so much for our family too. Because of that job, it's moved us here. And so he's brought him a lot of fulfillment in that way too. And is setting him on a path to be able to do things that he's passionate about, like being a charter guide for kids who have disabilities and things like that. And I think eventually would love to sort of feed into Love That Surpasses and help what this ministry is doing too. And so because we live in Florida, fishing and charter guiding and things like that is so much more accessible than it was where we were in Georgia. Anyways, so there's so many things that God has brought us to that we've always had on our hearts, but had no idea how to get there. So it's been a beautiful journey, but at the same time, last year was that year of change. Just that was the shift where we were like moving from one state to the other and getting established into this new life that God had brought to us. It was probably the hardest year of my entire life was the most challenging, was the most testing.
Birth pains. Yeah, those birth pains. It was birthing you into a new place. And I feel like where you were is where a lot of people are, that I feel like there's such a big calling on my life, but this is not, this place where I'm in is not it. It's not where I'm supposed to be doing it. There's so many people that are in that spot. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was definitely in that spot too. And it does come down to, okay, God, I give you everything. I lay it all before you. I give you everything. And it's from that full trust and surrendering place that he, and it's going to be painful. It's going to be a painful process. We both experienced a very painful birthing process, but it's through that birthing process that you move into a new space. And I feel like I'm going through like a second one right now as we speak. but you know, I just already know the other side of like, okay, he's positioning me. So through this pain, I'm going to keep holding on and just looking at you, because you're repositioning me, you're repositioning everything, and I give you everything and I trust you everything. So let's go.
Yeah. Do you ever seen that video where the guy is like, God's holding my hand, and you're like, you're looking up because you're like this little kid. He's like, all right, keep holding my hand. We're going to go. Get ready now. Just hold on. Okay, let's go. And he's like running. He'll keep holding my hand. Keep holding my hand. Don't let go. And you're just like, like holding on for dear life. And it is the funniest representation of exactly how that feels. And that is how I felt this past year. It was so hard, but it was really an interesting experience to go through that, because I really felt like it should not only just, it was for me, because it was able to show me like what I was able to withstand, and that my trust in God and my faith in him and who he is it brings me through all of that, and then I can sustain it. And that just knowing that God knows us so intimately, and that he wants an intimate relationship with us. And it's not just some God in the sky who looks at his children and says, I love you. Like he knows us. He truly knows us. And he's intimate with us, with our relationship and our needs and our desires. And he knitted us in the womb. Like he knows us, and he's given us these gifts and these desires. And our fears and our doubts and our needs and dreams are not minute to God, or not minute in the grand scheme of things. And so I think it's really important to remember that and to call on God and say, okay, God, I'm ready. Use me. Boy, will he will take you up on that. That is a dangerous prayer, but it is 100% worth it. And it might be tough and it might be hard, but it is absolutely worth it in the end. And I'm so grateful.
I've actually been listening to like a lot of podcasts on this topic, but it's always cool because time and time again, the speakers that I hear, and what I've witnessed and experienced myself, is he uses that greatest pain of yours, that you walked through, because you know, and I heard this from another pastor, your pain becomes your rain, and you going through that pain, he uses it in such a way that it ministers to other people who are walking through that pain as well in that situation. And,
you're relatable.
He brings you to that high place, but you have to walk through that valley first before. Mm-hmm. And there's a verse in here, actually, that I'm thinking about, that, that Psalms 18 again. God's way is perfect. The word of the Lord is pure. He is a shield to all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock? Only our God. He clothes me with strength. He makes my ways perfect. Mm-hmm. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me securely on the heights. He trains my hands for war. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me your shield of salvation. Your right hand upholds me, and your humility exalts me. Not exhaust. You make a spacious place beneath me for my steps, and my ankles do not give way. And it talks about how I love the part. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he sets me securely on the heights. So in that valley, he's making your feet like the feet of a deer. So that way, when you go to your heights, you can stand there and your ankles don't give way on that high place. So I love that perspective.
And it's sort of calling us to embrace the journey through that valley. It's calling us to say, this serves a greater purpose. And I have to trust that there's a reason for this. This pain brings purpose. And without this walking through the fire and God molding me and crushing me, you know, crushing those grapes, like you talk about, I can't be who God has called me to be. I won't be able to withstand what is coming. And then I'm thus, you know, not able to share how I'm able to stand, how I'm able to get through these things, where my rest comes from, where my peace comes from, where my joy comes from, where my patience comes from, in the midst of affliction. And, so I would say, don't pray for it to just all go away, you know, like, God, I just like, hurry this up, like, get me out of this. You know, it's like, there's a part of you that it's very uncomfortable and it sucks and you want to just move past it, but it's so incredibly necessary. And we know so little compared to what God knows what's ahead of us. And he's in the meanwhile, he's meanwhile preparing, he's meanwhile setting the path before you. And you just have to trust that this has a purpose.
Yeah. And these valleys are almost essential so you can stand on that mountain. From the podcast I listened to, Bob Sorge was talking about how both Solomon and David were on a mountain. And what was the difference between the two? Solomon fell and David stayed, but Solomon never had that valley that he walked through. David spent years in the wilderness running for his life. He had that valley. So, and his feet were trained like the feet of a deer, so that when he got to his mountain, he could keep standing on it. So I just loved his perspective on that. It's like, wow, this valley is so painful, so painful, but it's essential so we won't fall. So we lean on Jesus, we learn his ways, and we share in his sufferings that he experienced, and we get that intimate relationship and that trust and that truth from him. He teaches us all those things in that valley, and that birthing pain process. Well, what happens on the other side of that birthing pain is like incredible life.
Yeah. I kind of think about that when you're talking about the wilderness. I know for me, my wilderness was those years back home in Georgia and going through these different things and praying these things and seeing God move and running through the wilderness, like chasing after God, like, okay, this is where we're going. I'm headed this way. So when I got to the mountain, which was where we live now, where we are now, I wasn't blown off the mountain when a big gust of wind tries to knock me off my feet and send me off my way, because those moments were being scammed out of thousands of dollars because I thought we were moving into a house here. It was the stress of moving from one state to another. It was the stress of getting a diagnosis for my son. It was the stress, like there were so many different things. And though I felt like, okay, we made it, we're on our mountain, there were things that happened and I was able to withstand them. And now here I am where I feel like I'm at the top for the first time ever. I feel like I've made it to a point where I'm like, I can sit back and enjoy this for a moment and really eat the fruit that, you know, God helped me plant in my life. And, but if had I not gone through those things prior, I don't think I would have been able to withstand it. My husband and I wouldn't have been able to withstand it.
What was that? That's that saying that your mom texted you the other day.
It was so good.
You won't eat the fruit the same day you plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great. Cause when you said, okay, I surrender, you're planting the seed.
Mm-hmm.
You were telling me you gotta turn the plant, you gotta face it towards the sun, you gotta water it every day, you gotta prune it back, you gotta take care of it. But you know, it takes a while for that plant to get big, and it takes a while for that plant
before
to get
it produces
mature
fruit.
And before it produces fruit.
Yeah. So the message was, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Be patient, be hopeful. And I don't know who made that graphic that she sent me or anything like that, but my mom shared that with me and said, I feel like this is very applicable to what you and Sarah are going through and what you're doing. And so it's very true and very, very, a really great thing to hold on to through any circumstance through life, because that's so very true. And that's just how God works. That is really how he works.
Yeah. And I also want to touch on, purpose a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like we, as humans looking through it through rose colored glasses, kind of have it, distorted in a very big way. Praying to God, oh God, if I just get this job, like this is going to be my mountain. Well, in all reality, to come and do your full calling, you have to figure out what's God's calling over your life, because your idea of purpose is not the same as God's idea of purpose. Because God intended for us before the fall of Adam and Eve, his purpose for us was to be representatives of his image, bearing his image. And it was when sin entered in that we got this worldly view of purpose, which I feel like has been my journey, getting the diagnosis of Emmett. My biggest realization was that in those moments when you get that diagnosis for your child, that I felt like as a parent, his purpose was taken away from me. Like he won't get a job. He won't go to college. It felt like his purpose was just ripped from me.
Yeah.
And in a way,
as if success wasn't available to him.
Success was ripped away from me.
Yeah.
Which was true in the eyes of worldly view. Yeah. But when you realize that is not our purpose, that is not our true purpose as humans, everything changes. And you realize, okay, God, that's not true. His purpose was never stripped from me. I wasn't seeing his purpose through your eyes. And so when you start praying over your children and start praying in like over them now, I just pray like, Lord, what do you say about my children's lives? What are they here to do for you and your kingdom and long-term? And you start declaring those things over them. That helps them to start stepping into their God-given purpose. And that's the only way we're fulfilled in this life, is when we're doing our God-given purpose, not when you step into this job and you get this title. Oh, then I'm going to be happy. No, I experienced that trying to get a nurse practitioner role, and God unveiled that weed in my heart too. He unveiled that weed of my purpose. He unveiled that weed of Emmett's purpose, Hayden's purpose. So no longer am I like, well, I'm not going to be successful. I'm not going to have purpose here if I don't get an NP title. No, that doesn't matter to me anymore, because I know what God said about my purpose and I'm declaring that, and the rest is just going to fall in line. And
I love hearing this,
fulfilled, and I am happy. I struggled with that when we first met. I did.
I remember
for a really long time. And I was idolizing success, worldly success. So it's just stripping that view, that idol, basically, mm-hmm. of worldly success is your purpose here. It's stripping that down and saying, that's a lie. That's mm-hmm. not true. That's not what God says about me. That's not what God says about my child. That's not my real intended purpose. And the enemy definitely wants you to believe that, oh, you know, all the worldly views of this idol and success, and wants you to feel like it's been taken from you, but it hasn't. So we can, I would just love to declare over you today that you would, your eyes would be opened to that lie, and your hearts would, turn towards the Lord and say, you know, I'm sorry for believing that and viewing that idol in that way. Lord, what is your purpose for my mm-hmm. life? Because that's who I want to be. And that's how you're going to launch me into, not just a worldly inheritance, but you're going to have a much bigger inheritance, and mm-hmm. it's much more exciting, and it's long-term, and it's impactful. And the Lord blesses you for generations. He looks at you as a family unit. And so the blessings and the words and the promises that He's going to give to you over your life, once you receive those and you declare those, and they just keep going on and on and on and on, and you know, you're just going to be blessed. Like, mm-hmm.
It's a ripple effect for sure.
It's a ripple effect. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. And it's, it just launches you into this new place of hope and, you know, all the
real joy,
all the IEP meetings, all the scores, you know, they don't matter because my children are being taught by the Lord. It says that somewhere in Isaiah, like you teach our children. I'll have to find that exact verse, but I love that verse. You will wear your children as jewelry, and all your children will be taught by the Lord. And it's like, yeah, I struggle with that too. There was an instance at school, and it was, you know, we were in kind of a hitting phase. I never went through that with Hayden, and all this fear crept in. They're going to kick him out of school if he keeps hitting. And then I was just praying over Emmett and praying to Jesus about, you know, just that moment. And he reminded me of that verse, and he gave me this beautiful picture of, Jesus sitting with Emmett, and Jesus was teaching Emmett to gently brush the coat of a lamb. Aww. And it just reminded me of that verse instantly, like, all your children will be taught by the Lord. And I just, you know, started declaring that, like, yes, Lord, like, I have no control over this issue, but you will teach all of my children. And so that was really impactful for me in that moment, just surrendering over that uncontrol of things to you're going to
partnering with God,
partnering with Him. Yeah. Like, you got this.
Yep. And he really does. He helps us with all my, these things aren't minute things to God. You know, He partners with us in developing that character and being a man or woman of God, and setting us up on a new path of like the inheritance that Sarah was talking about. So I encourage you, if you have it, prayed a dangerous prayer like that, get ready if you have, or if you plan to, because man, it's going to be good. And you're going to see the evidence of God in amazing ways, and in ways that it's, you can't deny His existence. You can't deny His hand in your life and how much He loves you, which has been a really beautiful thing, I think, for me and my family. Cause it's like, God loves me, you know, I'm His child. But when you see how much He cares about you individually, it is such, it's just like, God, you don't have to, like, you don't have to do anything else for me. I mean, you already gave your son, and just, you know, my circumstance is nowhere near this person's circumstance or what's going on in the world, but yet choose me, and you choose me over and over and over again. And you just showed me immense love and grace, and you give me rest. You give me everything I don't deserve. And, it's really a very, I don't know. I have no words. There's no words to describe that kind of love. So, yeah.
Well, I feel like we should end this on a dangerous prayer note.
Yeah.
let's help these people pray their dangerous prayer.
Okay. All you would right. like me? You want me to help pray that dangerous prayer?
Yeah.
Apparently I know how to do it. Cause boy, I'll tell you what. Okay. So, all right, everyone, let's bow our heads together and, open up our hearts to receive this, Lord. And, you know, God, I just ask that whoever's listening to this or watching, that you soften their heart, you open their eyes and their ears to embrace this message and what this means for them, what this means for their life, for their children, for their careers, for their home, for their town, for every aspect of their life. God, I ask that you speak to and you remind them that they have a great purpose in you. And this beautiful story is waiting for them. And this beautiful journey that they're going to embark on, the moment that they decide that you are the leader in their life and that you are at the center of everything and that they're going to trust you. And with that trust, God, you're going to illuminate their path and it's going to be known. Doors are going to open and things are going to move and life is going to shift. And it might be uncomfortable. It might be a little scary, but they're going to have so much peace because they know it's you. They know that you're the one making things move, that you're the one opening doors. And eventually they're going to find themselves exactly where they were always meant to be. And you're going to use everything in their past, mistakes, shortcomings, tough jobs, tough people, tough relationships, losses, pain. You're going to use all of it and you're going to turn it for good. And you're going to allow it to speak to where they end up and be a part of their testimony and be a light to someone else who's in that place, who was in where they were. So Lord, I just ask that you help them pray this prayer, Lord. And I thank you and thank you for knowing us. Thank you for being intimate for us. And thank you for being there in every moment of our lives and never relenting and never giving up on us. And I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, that concludes our episode. If you would like to find more, please subscribe to the newsletter. You can find the subscription form on our website. At lovethatsurpasses.org. Where can they find you, Sarah?
You can follow me on Instagram. That's where we mostly are, at Love That Surpasses. And then you can follow our ministry at Love That Surpasses Ministries.
And I am on Instagram as well with Megan Bushalon. We're constantly sharing stuff to each other's pages. So I'm sure you'll see us kind of in and out. And then YouTube as well, Chasing the Sun. A little more behind the scenes life, my new crazy life that God has brought forth. So anyways, I hope that we'll see you in the next episode for episode 10, right?
Oh my gosh. That
it's episode 10. That's the last episode.
Is going to conclude season one.
Yeah. So exciting.
So exciting. I can't believe it. Okay. We'll see you in the next episode.
All right. Be blessed. Bye.